right, brethren, let's go to back there to Exodus 14. Is there anybody here who the Lord has made to see that you are totally incapable of saving yourself? Maybe it's the first hour the Lord's ever spoken to you and taught you that you're totally unable to save yourselves from your sin. Or maybe you are a believer who are in a trial and the Lord is once again bringing you to a place where He's showing you you are totally unable to save yourself. That's what the Lord did for the children of Israel. And this is what He does for His people when He's going to save us. Be it the first hour or in the midst of trial, He brings us to the place He would have us to be. Turns us out of our way. Turns us out of the way we were going, like He did them. And He brings you to a place where you're made to see you have no ability whatsoever. Sometimes we complain about feeling like this awful thing that's come upon us and this trial that's come upon us and you know, we can't get out of it, we can't do anything about it, we're trapped where we are. But don't forget, the Lord brought you there. You're there because that's where God brought you on purpose. And if you can't do anything about it, that's why He brought you there. To show you, you can't do anything to save yourself. He brought Israel here to this place, and in front of them were these tumultuous waves of the Red Sea, representing the sea of God's wrath against sin. And then on each side of them were these mountains that were impossible to climb. And then behind them is Pharaoh and his army rushing headlong against them, picturing a lot of things, picturing our sin, picturing the devil, picturing all our enemies. And worst of all, brethren, within them there was only unbelief and crying out in fear against the Lord. Did you notice when you go back and read Exodus 14, it says in Exodus 14 in verse 10 at the end, it says when they saw the Egyptians coming at them, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses. They were saying this to the Lord, but they said it to Moses. This, in their heart, they meant this against the Lord, but they said it to Moses. And they cried, "Why have you brought us out here to kill us?" And that's what we tend to do. That's what murmuring is. Whether we might be saying it against somebody, but we're really saying it against the Lord because He's the one that brought us to where we are. Now, if you're brought to that place, I have a message for you. It's the message Moses declared to them in verse 3. In verse 13, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." Whether it's the first hour or it's every hour of trial, the Lord declares to His child, salvation is not by your hand. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You stand still and see as the Lord fights for you and you hold your peace. And when the Lord's brought you there, it's time to hear the Lord's next word. When He's brought you to stand still and to behold with faith the eye of the work of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, and to look to Him alone, now it's time to hear the next word. Look at verse 15. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." There's a time to cry unto the Lord. There's a time to pray for the Lord to help. And then there's a time to go forward. There's a time to stop crying to the Lord and take action. But the Lord just commanded them to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now he's telling them, go forward. That's no contradiction. That's no contradiction for faith. True faith in Christ is standing still, ceasing from our works, believing salvation is of the Lord. And true faith in Christ will be justified as true by continuing to stand still and trust the Lord to fight for us as we go forward. It's called walking by faith. Walking by faith. You're moving, you're going forward, but all the while you're standing still, trusting the Lord to do the fighting and do the saving. That's faith, brethren. That's faith. In that first hour he tells us to go forth, he's telling us to go forth to Christ. Lay hold of him. Go into the waters of baptism. Confess him publicly. Commit yourself to him. Go forward with his people, following and learning the gospel as you go. And in every hour of trial, when we start trusting ourselves, he brings us back to a place where we're trapped again and can't do anything to help ourselves or save ourselves. And once again, he gives us this lesson all over. And once he's brought you to stand still and look to the Lord, then he says, now, go forward. Don't stop standing still. Don't stop looking to the Lord, but put one foot in front of the other and go to him and go forward. And whatever the situation is or whatever the trial is, and you don't have to wonder if you're in a trial, well, I'm trying to figure out what the Lord's teaching me. You're going to know what the Lord's teaching you. When it's time to go forward, you won't have a doubt in your mind. And it'll be as obvious as a noonday sun. This is what I'm supposed to do. God doesn't try anything. God does. All right, first of all, how does faith go forward? Faith goes forward trusting the protection of Christ himself. It says there in verse 19, and I'm going to read this in order as it happened. And so we get a picture of how this progressed. So the Lord told him to stand still, and then he tells him to go forward, but there was a night that they had to go through before the morning came, and they went forward. And here comes these Egyptians barreling down on them. They're coming. They see them all. And we're not talking about just a handful on one side and a handful of the other. We're talking about over 600,000, not counting women and children, on the side of Israel. There's probably way over a million. Plus all Pharaoh and his chariots, his 600 men, and then it says all the horses and chariots in Egypt. A mighty army. The biggest army there was in the world at that time. Coming after them. But look what happens. Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And saying the same thing, he says, the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light by night to the children of Israel, so that the one came not near the other all night. The angel of God is Christ Jesus our Lord. He's the one who is going forward here in this pillar. It was a pillar that looked like a cloud by day, and it was a pillar that was lit up like fire at night. And he went before them, and he led them. But Christ not only leads us, brethren, he's promised he'll be our reward. And that word means our rear guard. It's like he's going before us and guarding us and protecting us from attack. On the front, he says, I'll be your rear guard, and I'll protect you from attack from behind. Go to Isaiah 52 and verse 11. I'll show you this real quick. Isaiah 52, 11. The Lord says, depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, recognize that? The Apostle Paul declared that in Corinthians. Come out from among wherever the darkness is, whatever the Lord showed you that you need to depart from, he says, come out. Leave it alone. He's purified you, he's sanctified you, he's made you holy. He says, now come out. Come out. Wash your hands of it for good. And look what he says. For you shall not go out with haste, nor by flight. You're not going to be scared and running. He says, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. That is, he'll not only be protecting you in from the front, he'll be protecting you from all sides and from the rear. The Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, is the shield and the defender of his people. Verse 20 said, it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Christ comes between his people and our enemies. That's what he does. He came between us and the law. He came between us and our sin. He came between us and the devil. He came between us and the fierce fury of God's wrath. And whatever enemy we face as we're walking through this world, Christ comes between us and the enemy. He's our shield and defender. And he's light to his people, while at the same time, he's darkness to the enemy. Verse 20, it says this, he was a cloud and darkness to the Egyptians, but he gave light by night to the children of Israel. Christ, who is our wisdom, he's wisdom, he's made wisdom unto the believer, so that we know and see and understand. But at the same time, he's confusion to the unbeliever. While he's giving you light so you can see, he's a cloud and darkness to his enemies. And it'll always be that way. The Lord Jesus Christ said, him that followeth me, he said, I'm the light of the world, and him that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. That's what I'm saying. You're not going to have to wonder. Did you have to wonder when the Lord called you the first hour to cast all your care on Christ? You didn't have to wonder, is this what I'm supposed to do? It was obvious. I got no other choice. I've got to cast my care on Christ. And in every trial, whatever, wherever he's leading us, he's going to make you know, this is the way. Walk in it. And he'll teach you the way. Every time. And so we have this constant protection from our enemies. Brethren, I believe it was William Law, I can't remember, but I read this week. He said, if our enemy wants to hurt us, if our enemy wants to do anything to us, they have to defeat omnipotence first. And I thought, man, that's a good statement. If our enemy wants to do anything to us, they have to defeat omnipotence first. Now, secondly, faith goes forward assured of our deliverance because of Christ's finished work. We go forward assured that we're going to be received by God, we're going to be accepted of God, and we're going to be delivered all our days as we walk through this earth. And we're not going to perish. We're going to come into God's presence and be saved by our Lord. And we have this assurance because of the justice of God that Christ satisfied. That's our assurance. Look here. Now, back up to verse 15, God said to Moses, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward, but, I love this, tell them to go forward, Moses, but, now watch this, lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Now look down at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry. And the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. You believe any of this really happened? I know it happened. Because I know what it pictures, and what it pictured is way harder to do than that. I know God did that because what it pictured, he did. And what that work was way harder than this work right here, dividing a sea. But listen to what it pictures. Moses is the mediator between God and the children of Israel. He's picturing Christ, our mediator, the one mediator between God and man, God and his people, God and men, the Lord Jesus. And then the Lord gives this command. He's the one, Moses is the one who tells the children of Israel, go forward. All right? And then, but the Lord says, but this rod, you take this rod and you stretch this rod out over the sea. This rod, brethren, later on, Moses, this is the best illustration of it. There's other things I could say, but this rod later is that rod that Moses is going to take, and he's going to smite the rock, and water is going to come out of that rock. That rod is picturing the law, God's holy law, God's holy justice that smote Christ, God's holy justice. That's what it pictures, this rod. And then he says, now Moses, you stretch forth your hand over that tumultuous sea. And so he stretches forth his hand. Now way back there when God gave Moses this rod, remember he has the rod and Moses said, the Lord said, now Moses, stick your hand in your vest. And he did. And he pulled it out again and it was leprous. His clean hand went into his vest and came out and it was leprous. And God said, put it in again. He did it again. He brought it out and it was clean. And that pictured, brethren, this hand pictures Christ bearing the sin and the curse of his people and by his own hand satisfying that rod of justice for us. And so that sea is that tumultuous sea. That's a picture of God's wrath toward sin. And so get the picture now. Moses gives the man command to go forth, and then he stretches forth his hand with that rod in his hand, and that sea parts. And so the children of Israel go right through the midst on dry ground to the other side. Here's the picture. God's mediator, Christ Jesus, he effectually commands his brethren to go forward. And when he commands us, we're going to go forward. It's an effectual command. He's the mediator between God and his people, and he's the one that gives the command, go forward. And that's when we're going to go. And as he stretches forth his hand, he's holding the rod of the law. He has the rod of the law in his hand. You ever heard men say that? Now the law's in the hand of Christ. Yes, it is. It sure is. And here's what it does for his people. He stretches forth his hand with that rod of the law, and it's that law that once would have condemned us. But now, Christ having satisfied all its holy demands, that same law, that same justice now, opens the way for us and demands the deliverance of every child that Christ justified. We must be carried across on dry ground. Because Christ dried up the wrath for us, satisfying the justice of God, honoring God's justice. And so when I say we go forward assured that we're going to be preserved and kept because God's justice is satisfied, I'm saying you and I go forward always being assured that Christ is the end of the law, including the end of God's wrath for righteousness to everyone that believeth. When he calls you to go forward in the first hour, he's commanding you to come to him, to go to Christ and cast all your eternal care on Christ. And he's going to show you when he does that, that you have full assurance that Christ is the end of the law. He has satisfied justice. He has made an end of sin. He is the one in whom God is satisfied and has no more wrath toward his people. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that laid down his life. yea, rather that's risen again, who's at the right hand of God, who even makes intercession for us. This is why, this is the picture we have here of back over in Isaiah 43. I think we read it last week. Whenever the Lord said, now Israel and Jacob, that's us. In our flesh, we're Jacob, but in the new man, we're Israel. And he says to us, fear not, I have redeemed thee. I've bought you. I've called you by your name, my name, and you're mine. I've called you the Lord my righteousness. I've said you're righteous in me, and you're mine now. And he says, and when you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned, neither shall the fire kindle upon you. He's saying God's holy wrath will not come against you. Sometimes, you know, we're chastened by the Lord. The Lord does chasten those he loves, and only those he loves. And sometimes to us, it feels like it is wrath, and it seems to us that God's angry, but that's not the case. He says when you're going through the waters, whether it's the waters of God's chastening, it's the waters of trial, whatever it is he's sending you through, he says, it's not going to hurt you. God's wrath, that's not God's wrath, that's love. And he says, and I'm with you every step of the way. Justice is never going to fall a second time on his people because it's already been satisfied in Christ. That's what we looked at this morning. Now, thirdly, faith goes forward seeing and beholding the Lord fight for us. The Lord told them, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. All these enemies you see, you're not going to see them anymore after this day. And he said, the Lord's going to fight for you and you're going to hold your peace. Now, if they'd have stood there, crying to the Lord, murmuring to the Lord, and never taken a step, they'd have never seen that. They'd have never seen the Lord fighting for them. But because they went forward, they saw the Lord fighting for them. And look here. They didn't have a single weapon. You ever thought about that? The children of Israel came out of bondage. They had been in bondage in Israel as slaves for 430 years. They didn't have any weapons. They didn't come out with a single weapon. And here you got Pharaoh and his army. They're loaded to the hilt. They got weapons all over them, and armor and everything else. Children of Israel don't have a single weapon. You know what, brethren? We don't have a weapon. We don't have any carnal weapons whatsoever. But we don't need them. We don't need them. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. The devil and the rulers of darkness may use some carnal things, and it may look like you're up against men and you're wrestling against flesh and blood. But that's not who's behind it. And the one that's in control of all the darkness and the is God our Father and Christ our Lord. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Take his armor that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. To stand. We don't have to fight. We have the promise that the Lord will fight for us. Now look here. He said, you hold your feet, peace, I'll do the fighting. Look at verse 17. He says, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and his host. Look at verse 18. And the Egyptians shall know I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and all his army. And he even made the Egyptians say it. Look at verse 25. The Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And I tell you, when you're going forth, brethren, through your life, walking by faith, don't you see this time and time again? Don't you see the Lord fighting for you against your enemies? And he often brings our enemies to flee. And when they flee, you know what they're saying? I can't come against them. The Lord's fighting for them against me. I can't do anything to them. They may not say that audibly. They may not confess that But by fleeing or by turning away or by you being delivered from them, that's exactly what's being said. The Lord's fighting for you against them. And so right now in this earth, in this good providence, brethren, because Christ has already executed justice for his people at the cross, you know what he's doing right now? He's executing justice for us in this earth right now. And what he showed us on the cross by doing everything in perfect righteousness, with no hint of injustice, he's showing us that he shall do right by us. He will do us right in his judgment and send the providence needed for us to protect us all our days in this earth. Now look at this, verse 23. The Egyptians pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. Why'd they do that? Because the Lord said, I'll harden their heart. What makes a man, this is a picture of a man trying to come to God by the works of his own hands. Not by faith, by the works of his own hands. What makes a man try to do that? God said, I will harden his heart. All God has to do to harden his heart is leave him alone. But sometimes God even hardens the heart in reprobation, though a man can't believe him. But why did God say, I'm going to do that? Because I'm going to get honor to my name, the Lord said. See, all men in this world are created to glorify God and to honor God, and we're going to all glorify God. That's the purpose God made us for. And we're going to glorify us in the way God made us. We're going to glorify him as a trophy of his mercy and his grace, whereby his justice was satisfied by Christ, or we're going to honor and glorify him in his justice being poured out on us because we went through our life and would not believe on Christ. Read Romans 9. That's what he's saying. And the reason that he does that with some and has mercy on the others, Romans 9 says, is so that he can show you who he's had mercy on, what great mercy he has had on you. Now watch this. I said to you, the Lord is executing justice. Christ is executing justice for us. Watch this, verse 24. So here goes Pharaoh and his horses, and they rush into this sea. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked. Capital L-O-R-D. That is God the Father. Let's say God the Father. This is the Lord Jehovah. But let's say this is picturing the first person of the Trinity, God the Father. And he looked unto the host of these Egyptians. But watch this. But he looked through the pillar of fire. That pillar of the cloud. He looked through the pillar. That pillar's Christ. You have God the Father here looking at his enemy who's attempting to come to him without faith in his Son, who's attempting to come to him without faith in the propitiation he's provided. But God's judgment upon them is through Christ, who they rejected. That's the picture here. Watch. And he troubled the host of the Egyptians. The Lord looked at his enemies through Christ. See, the judgment of the Lord, the judgment of God that troubled these enemies did so through Christ. Why? Our Lord said, the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That's what I'm saying. That's the picture here. You see the Lord looking at the Egyptians, but he's looking at the Egyptians through Christ. Why? Because he's committed all judgment to Christ. All the judgment's in the hand of God's Son, and he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. So all the authority and judgment's his. Now notice the difference here. Notice the difference. The children of Israel went into that sea, committing themselves unto Moses, being baptized unto Moses, Paul said in 2 Corinthians. And the picture there is of a believer who's committed it all to Christ, all his eternal souls in the hands of Christ, and he goes into the water of baptism, publicly professing that Christ is all his salvation. He's trusting Christ alone. When Christ died, he died. When Christ arose, he arose. His old man's buried with Christ and his new man's risen with Christ. He's under new management now. He's following the Lord now, committed to the Lord now. That's the picture of Israel. They're walking forward by faith. But now look at these Egyptians. They went into that sea by their own strength. Nobody told them to go into that sea. Nobody told them to go this way. They trying to go on their own by their own strength. And their motive is not the motive of Israel when they went across. Israel went across looking to the Lord, wanting to see the salvation of the Lord. Pharaoh's going through because he said, I don't care if you think he's going to save you. I'm going to destroy you. And what happened? Look at this judgment of our Lord, verse 26. This is the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said unto Moses, the Lord said this to his mediator. God committed all judgment to the Son. He said to Moses, stretch out thine hand. That same hand that satisfied justice for his people. He says, now you stretch it forth over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians. Verse 27, and Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, that sea of God's wrath, and the sea returned to its strength. And when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered them all, and there remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall on each side to them, to their right and to their left. And thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. Our Lord Jesus said, marvel not at this, after he said all judgments committed to the Son and given him power to execute justice. He said, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth, they that have done good. That's pictured in the Israelites, casting all their care on Christ, committing all to Christ. That's what he's calling good. They that have done good, those that have trusted it all to Christ, they're going to be raised to the resurrection of life. Justice has nothing else to say to them. Judgment was settled at the cross for them. And they that have done evil, pictured in Pharaoh and the Egyptians, those that tried to save themselves, they're going to be resurrected to the resurrection of damnation. Men speak of the law in Christ's hand, and it is. It is. He's executing justice. He's getting honor to himself. He's saving his people from all our enemies. Because that rod of that law doesn't speak to us in a negative way. That rod of that law now says for his people, they must be saved. They're justified. Justice is our friend, believer, because Christ has satisfied justice. You want justice. Don't you want justice? You don't want to see the poor oppressed and the helpless trodden down. That's us. And justice says, I won't have it. That law's in Christ's hand. It is Christ. And he says, I won't have it. So he's executing judgment for us in the earth, protecting us. And he's going to do it all our life. He executes justice, brethren, in this way. All who reject him, attempting to come to God by the work of their own hands instead of by faith in the work of his, he's going to protect his people from them all our days. He's going to come between us and them all our days. And at last, when they try to stand before God in judgment, Christ, who men rejected, will be the one who will stretch forth his own hand. You see this hand? This is the hand to save my people. This is the hand you rejected. Now this is the hand that damns you justly because you refused the only salvation there is. But that same hand and that same rod of the law, that same justice, brethren, because he satisfied the justice of the law's justice, God is happy and satisfied and appeased. He's going to do what the justice demands. He's going to come to all his people and take us out of our way on our run to hell, and he's going to turn us and hedge us about on every side and make us to be trapped and make us to see that we have no way of saving ourselves. And then he's going to speak in our hearts and he's going to teach us the gospel. Fear not. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. All your enemies, all your sins that you behold right now pursuing you, you're going to see them no more today. I'm fixing to show you. You stand still and you see the Lord fight for you and you hold your peace. You don't even say a word. And then he says to you, now go forth. And when he's taught you that gospel, he effectually commands you, and you go forth and lay hold of Christ. Why? Justice demands it. Justice demands it that you be saved, Christ's people. And then he gives us a heart to commit to him. I mean to commit to him. And he says to you, you're looking at that pool of baptism and that public profession of Christ and publicly professing you're united to his people. And he says, go forward. And you go forward. And you publicly confess him, that he's all your justification and all your righteousness. And you unite with his people. You know why he's going to make his people do that? Because he satisfied justice, and now justice demands they must be saved. And all our days as we go through this life, he's executing justice for us, brethren, in this world by his hand of providence. And it's just as just for us and just as just toward us as what he accomplished at Calvary. He's doing it for his people. And in the end, we're going to come to him by the safety of his hand. And that same justice will be what saved us. And so when we get to glory, here's what we're going to find out. Faith goes forth all our days assured that in every trial and against every enemy, our God and our Savior shall accomplish his purpose. You can be assured of that. He's going to accomplish his purpose. Look at this, verse 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. He said they would see him again no more. And the scripture said there remained not so much as one of them. Do you realize, brethren, all the sins of Christ's people is slain and is gone out of sight, out of God's sight, just like they saw those Egyptians no more forever. Our sins have been slain by Christ. They're gone, and God says, I see them no more forever. When he blots out, You take a man that's got a record book, and there he's got all the debts in it. He's been keeping up with all the debts that you owe him, and they're all written down in that book. God says, I've taken the blood of Christ, and I've blotted out all those sins. I've blotted them all out. So that when I open up my record book now, looking for a record of the sins of my people, I got no record of your sin. You've never sinned. It would be in my book if you had. I don't have a record of it. You've never done it. He declares you justified. 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 And the people, when he shows you this great work, the people feared the Lord. That was his purpose. And they believed the Lord. That was his purpose. And they feared and believed his servant Moses. Remember who Moses is? He is the mediator. Not only do we believe God our Father, we believe God our Father by believing and fearing his Son, our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we commit it all to him. And now, brethren, from the day he first saves us, this is our song. In every trial when he brings you out, this is our song. And when we get there to that day and we see what justice demanded because it was satisfied by Christ, and we see all this he did righteously for his people because his holy character demanded it because justice was satisfied toward us. We see this great work in that day, and we're going to see it fully. You're going to know as you've been known, Scripture says. Right now, it's so foolish for people to get in arguments and to rail and try to cause divisions, and all that is men trying to make disciples after themselves. You know why it's ignorant to do that? Because We see what you see when you look at that iceberg. We see just a little bitty part of it. And there's a whole lot more we have never, ever, ever, ever seen. Scripture says it hadn't even entered into a man's mind the things that God's prepared for them that love him. I'm not talking about man comes along preaching you're saved by your will and your works. You know I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that you know, we ought to say, well, that's I hope it's that way. But I trust it is. I don't know. I see through a glass darkly. But I'm not going to get mad at you because you disagree with me. But in that day, brethren, look at this. We're going to see it fully. We're going to know it fully. Won't it be something to look over your life and to see everything? You see every situation where you complained and murmured, just like they did at that sea. Oh, you Lord just brought me out here going to kill me. And the Lord shows you what he was doing and all that. And here was some big, great enemy that if you'd have kept going the way you was going to destroy you and you'd have perished right then and there. And what the Lord was doing and taking you this more difficult way and this harder way was saving you from sudden death. And now you see it. What a dummy I was to murmur. And look how wise the Lord was. Look how loving the Lord was. Look how just the Lord was. Look how he protected me. And we're going to see it so fully and know it all. And look at this. And then we will sing with Christ and with the children of Israel. Christ, is, you remember he said, I'm going to sing in the great congregation. Go read Hebrews 2. I and my brethren are one. I'm going to sing praises unto God. Here's Moses, who's the mediator. Picture of Christ and the children of Israel singing. Watch this. And this was their song, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my song. He is become my salvation. He my God. And I will prepare a habitation for him. You and I can't do too much to prepare a habitation for him. He's got to do it all. He got to sanctify us and give us a new heart, make us holy. But when he's done it, and he says you go forward, you come out from that former way of life and that former rebellion and those former companions, and he says you leave that alone. You prepare a habitation for him. You come out. You prepare his abiding place. Take care of his abiding home where he's going to abide. Why? Because you trying to save yourself? No, read that. He said, I just see all this he's done for me. I see he's my strength. He's my salvation. That's why. That's why. He's my Father's God, and I will exalt him. I will exalt him. I pray God will make us now stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, and go forward while we do it. Assured in faith. All these things we're assured of, brethren. All right. Let's stand together and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Brother Art will come lead us in a closing hymn. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you that you are the one that teaches us Christ our way. Makes us enter into him and leads us in him and leads us by him. Lord, we ask that you would command that poor sinner now that sees you and is beholding what you've done and command him to believe on Christ. Go forward and cast it all into Christ's hand. Confess him and join with his people. And Lord, we pray for that believer that's in a trial and doesn't know what to do. We pray, Lord, that you'd command him to go forward. Trust in Christ, assured in faith that justice will not let us perish. God will keep us and direct us and bring us safely home. Lord, forgive us our murmuring. Forgive us for not wanting to go forward and walk by faith. Forgive us for complaining against you and exalting the enemy as if the enemy is more powerful than you. Forgive us, Lord. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, our great mediator, our righteousness, our justifier, our holiness, Christ the Lord. Amen. All right. I got one announcement real quick before Brother